if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 348, that's 350 minus 2, of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts. Hello, how are you? Me too. But with me this week, as usual, is Coalman.
Hi!
And another chap who's not going to let the fact that it's June get in the way of him introducing himself as Mr. November, it's Tim.
I don't think I ever have done that. You've done that multiple times.
But your name is Mr. November.
Off mic, he does it all the time.
Yeah, I know, right? And whenever he's meeting a lady, he's like, hey, you know.
He's Mr. November right here.
I don't like to talk about it, but I'm Mr. November.
We've got two different versions of Mr. November here. Mine's more like Duffman.
mine's more like Sleazy Calendar Guy.
Okay. I like Sleazy Calendar Guy.
Mr. November.
I'm not sure I'm entirely happy with either of those.
I'm Mr. November. I've taken time out from my busy schedule of smuggling budgies in my underpants.
You want to look behind the scenes of Borderlands 3?
Whoa.
Nowhere near extreme enough, mate. Anyway, it's been a bit of a quiet week this week. The week after E3 is usually... everyone goes a bit to ground and nursing hangovers and
illnesses,
flu. Yeah, exactly. Because gotta love convention lurgy. It's a wonderful thing.
Nerd flu.
Interestingly, I have a question, Mr. Dan.
Yes.
And you're well placed as a doctor to possibly shed some light on it. So I wanted to know from you, Mr. Dan, is there any medical reason behind why con flu is a genuine thing?
Yeah, there's lots of very tedious reasons I can go into.
Well, lots of people coming from different regions and therefore having different bugs and not being...
It's the same phenomenon as Fresh's flu.
Okay.
And that there's also that greasy hands, dirty hands on controllers are an excellent way to transmit things from one person to another. Because a lot of bugs get transferred through, let's say, touch something, and then without thinking, you'll touch your eye or touch your mouth, something like that. And that's how it gets it. It gets inside you, Timothy.
Plus, con controllers are the tastiest controllers, so that does cause a couple of problems there.
Well, I mean, you do like to lick them.
No, Coleman,
that is not the Xbox assistive controller. Coleman. No, that is not an input method.
HD rumble, you say?
Neither is that. Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's not just like an urban rumour type thing. There is some genuine medical, weight to that being an actual thing.
Yeah, well, it's like you tend to kind of, groups of people live together, tend to become, immune to the things each other have got.
Yeah.
So when you come into contact with people who aren't from your immediate social circle or kind of locality, they tend to bring with them bugs and other things that you don't have an immune response to, so you tend to get ill.
And interestingly, it doesn't seem to be as much of a feature at board game conventions as it is at video game conventions.
Probably because there's not a lot of people touching exactly the same play piece.
Mm-hmm.
Also, meeples are sterile, which is a medical fact.
Coleman likes muling certain bits of board game stuff up himself.
That too.
Which makes it difficult for anyone else actually to touch the gaming pieces. So he's a bit like a hungry hippo.
Have you seen some of these 40k figures, mate?
They're pretty sharp, aren't they?
Great.
Blunt end first. That's my tip.
I think the point of this was there's no news.
Can you tell? I can.
That's why we just vamped for 5 minutes on illnesses.
I thought it was an interesting medical take.
All right, another question, Tim. Hit me with another question. You've got my undivided attention.
Okay.
Ask Dan.
What were your favourite games of this year?
We've not even finished the year yet.
So far?
Yeah,
well,
so far.
I think there's been some relatively few truly excellent games thus far, but a couple of very notable, perhaps for not the ideal reason, games. That's how I would phrase it. I mean, there's a couple of things that have just come out that I really want to play, like Cadence of Hyrule. I haven't had a chance to play yet, and I think I'm really, really going to love that game. So that looks awesome. But there's some really great stuff literally just over the horizon, which is going to be fantastic.
Horizon's coming out.
Really? Again. Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
How many times have we done this?
I don't know.
Seriously, Coleman?
Four.
Seriously?
Five. 100.
Why do I bother?
7.
Yes. All right. Yes. 7. Fine.
Good.
7.
Good.
7. That's it. Why not? Yes. Yeah, 7.
What are we
times.
Talking about?
I have no idea.
Nurse.
I'll just tune it out after. I'll just tune it out after all. Come on, Mr. Coleman. Time for bed. Nighty night. There we go.
I've got a lovely tartan blanket over my legs.
And moving on. The one that I think's been most interesting initially to observe from within and then without is Anthem.
I have a question, Dan.
Yeah.
Is Anthem still broken?
Well, I was, yeah. I mean, Anthem is broken as
I have a follow-up question, Dan.
Yes.
How much is Anthem worth this week?
I have seen it as low as 20 English pounds.
That's approximately 15 too many.
I'm not sure if I can spring for 5. Could you put it down to 4.99?
All right, 4.99.
Just 4.99.
Just 4.99.
4.99. Yeah. I mean, I think what's so strange about this game is that it's something that looked I can't remember, perhaps other than the original Destiny, to be fair, something that had so much initial potential, but has just been so tone deaf in how it goes about, you know, engaging players, the gameplay mechanics, and, you know, actually just kind of the story beats underneath. I mean, I think Anthem is just such a massive wasted opportunity.
I think Alien Colonial Marines is probably up there.
I think it is. And but, I mean, what sets Destiny apart is that actually they did take their lumps and they did listen and they did reinvent the game. And I think but by the end of Destiny 1, certainly it's quite a good game. But Anthem just appears dead in the water.
I'm sure something will happen with Anthem that will make it a more playable and stable game. And it will probably be... Yeah, exactly as my Fallout 76 prediction. I'm pretty sure one day we'll be picking this up in a bargain bin and having a great old time in the much more better fixed, stable running version of it. Better affixed version of the game.
I don't know that in the present day market, with the amount of games of a service type games and other games that's coming out, I don't know if these games still have the power to attract a player base back. The good thing about Destiny at the time was it still maintained a fairly healthy player base, even though people love to complain about it.
Yeah, and, you know, they certainly, with the more recent stuff with Destiny 2, it's a new season that's just released on that, which you've managed to somehow sidestep me speaking about at length, that's brought some really great stuff to the table. And it seems like Bungie are making all the right noises about, like, how they're going to take the franchise going forward now they're truly independent. So I think good times are ahead, and that's if you listen to player feedback. Obviously, you can't please everyone all of the time. But, you know, at least they're not tone deaf. They're willing to go, okay, we messed up, tell us about it. But Anthem just appears beyond hope. It's their big event, the Cataclysm, this world-changing event, just essentially, as far as I can work out, if the public test server feedback's been a thing to be believed, rather than this apocalyptic storm that you're flying into the eye of, it's basically they've upped the wind effects and put a grey filter on the screen. So, yeah, but it's a shame. But, I mean, I think, sadly, BioWare's trajectory is downwards, and I think, sadly, that's been a real kind of how the mighty have fallen point of the year. But that notwithstanding, there have been other games in that kind of shared world shooter looter genre, like The Division 2, which I think have been truly excellent. That is a great title, and they've learnt so much from The Division 1, and that's, I mean, there's another big title update just come out for that, adding a new character class, and they've really continued to balance up the gameplay in new and interesting ways. So I think that's been an absolute corking success. But those, I think, because they're two peas in a pod, I think it's really interesting to see how differently they've been received.
But again, I think The Division 1 was in a better position than Anthem is, no? Like, as in, you know, it represented a good game, it had a good player base, it had a few good ideas that were a bit different, like the Dark Zone stuff, mainly, I'm thinking there. And, yeah, like, I don't know, like, it seemed to give enough to please a good amount of people to bring them back in. Whereas Anthem, I think, is the problem is now is, like you say, it's possibly dead in the water, but then also I think they haven't delivered enough with this release to do a second release and possibly have that as a get out to them and a reset point, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it just shows you how, without going too solid snake here, games have changed, that it really does show you, and I think that's one of the things that's quite interesting looking back to the E3 you were at, Tim. I know you don't like to talk about it. To kind of what's going to be the same thing but a generation on next year, is actually how the way in which we consume games and communicate with developers has really changed, and how that can now really kill a game. And, you know, if developers aren't proactively engaging with their audience, it actually, I don't know if it's a change in kind of the way people behave as consumers, but it kind of, I think people take it as a slap in the face. It's like, I haven't just paid, you know, 40 quid for a game that I'll play for a while and then, you know, either put on the shelf or trade in for something. It's now, you've developed a game and I expect you to keep giving me cool stuff for at least, you know, 3, 6, 12 months in order for it to be worth my while. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. Games have changed. I'm an old man and I don't understand them anymore.
When we sort of proposed talking about our favourite games of the year...
So far.
I really kind of... At first I was like, I might have a problem like whittling that down to a small list of things.
Surprise.
But no, when I actually thought about it, there's only really two games that really jumped out in my mind particularly.
All right, hit me up with them, Tim.
Wargroove, I think, is absolutely excellent. Turn-based strategy and a game that I'd missed from my gaming collection, reborn in a slightly different form, but done in a really good way, basically.
Is it like the Advance Wars that you wish had existed for a while?
Exactly. And that, and with no one making that at the moment, like it's good that someone literally, and they said that, you know, that was part of their thinking when they made the game. They were fans of the Advance Wars series and were like, well, no one's making this. We're going to make one, basically. You can tell that they were fans and you can tell that it was a labor of love, basically. And I really like seeing that in a game. And
also Dog Armor.
Also Dogs, yes, and Dog Armor.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Horse Armor.
No.
As I said, it's a game that was almost missing from the kind of even the last couple of generations almost. I think it was DS was the last Advance Wars, I think, basically. As I said, literally missing I think I've already mentioned this on the podcast, but I literally went up to the developer and said, is it all right for me to hug you? And he said, yes. So I hugged him.
And that's how diseases spread at conventions, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, just your game is my comfort blanket. If I need like to retreat and just go be in a safe place somewhere, I play Wargroove kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like it's my go-to kind of default. And yeah, it's just nice to have a game that fits into that sort of position for me as well, basically. But yeah, I, yeah, as I said, that's one that really sort of jumps out to me from this gen. And another one that was a game I was really looking forward to and really delivered on the promise of what I saw and possibly over-delivered and is just heck of fun to play. So I haven't finished it, but I love everything I've played
heck
of it.
Heck of fun. Right.
But yeah, Blood and Truth. VR game, I'm pleased to be talking about a VR game in this category, but yeah, you guys definitely have to come play this and enjoy that. And thinking about it as well, the other one that would probably get in there as well, just for the experience and the memory of that experience, is Everybody's Golf VR as well, because that's like, wow, okay, I'm in the game again kind of thing.
I keep forgetting that's come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I'd say that could work really well, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I forgot to mention, and I can mention in passing, is Tetris 99. Is the awesome. I love that game.
I haven't played that game enough, but...
All right, so yeah, so Tetris 99, and there's some DLC came out for that, which essentially unlocks classic Tetris mode and the CPU battle mode. So, yeah, good fun if you don't feel like the stress of combating 99 other people also sat on the toilet at the same time.
Don't you basically have to pay for the offline mode, though? Or is that included?
You do have to pay. I think it's like £6 or something, to be fair.
Yeah.
Seems like a good game.
I think it's a great little game, and I just love the fact that there's probably a very high proportion that at least 80% of the people you're playing against on Tetris 99 are also sat on the
Nice.
And that's how diseases spread at conventions, ladies and gentlemen.
My favourite trick to do with Tetris 99 is to take that to work and go, hey guys, any of you played Tetris before? And then hand them the Switch and just see people scream at the screen, just, what is happening? Why are all these blocks appearing? I didn't do anything wrong. It's quite a fun experience. Anyone who thinks they know how Tetris works and just hasn't played this, hand them a Switch. It's so funny.
Who is Tetris?
Trolling with Tetris.
Trolling with Tetris. It's my new show. I'm pitching it to YouTube Red.
Splendid.
They'd probably snap that up. Anyway, there's two games that I think sit just behind that for me, like games that I...
Is this the list you had trouble whittling down, by the way?
Well, no.
Didn't have trouble whittling down?
Don't you remember, Dan? We thought 6 months into the year, we'd do Tim's halfway through the year, all his favourite special games, and also Dan talks about Anthem show.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Cool.
Well, you're welcome to talk about other stuff. I was just going to mention some
other things. No, because you're an unstoppable, conversational freight train, Tim, so carry on.
Far be it for us to try and jump into the Tim show.
I'm just going to say, like, two first-person shooters that I have enjoyed that I don't think have got quite as much attention as they might possibly have deserved and have enjoyed and enjoyed my time with. I need to play more.
Are you talking about Little Friends, Dogs and Cats?
No, I was going to say Metro Exodus, which I did talk about previously on the show. Really atmospheric, like post-apocalyptic Russia. Coming out of the tunnels and actually emerging into the world, and there's a whole conspiracy as to why that's the case a bit as well. I enjoyed my time with that, and it was, good fun. A bit more fun's possibly the wrong word for Metro Exodus, but not necessarily the case with Rage 2. That is definitely just, all-out fun, id shooter type thing with driving. Again, we spoke about it fairly recently. I won't go into the full thing, but I like the mix of gunplay and driving around, basically. That just appeals to me generally, I guess. Having liked the Mad Max games before and the previous Rage game. But they've been decent. So what stands out for you guys from what you've played so far? Mr. Coleman, you have been quiet so far.
Yeah, Ace Combat 7, that was the one that I... spoke about this. We played it a couple of times in preview, novice mode, and we thought we both discussed this, and you more for the VR, me more for the actual mainline game itself.
I literally only played the VR levels. I still haven't played any of the rest of the
game. Yeah, and I've only played the mainline game because I mentioned it a couple of months ago now, I picked up a PlayStation VR, and I keep forgetting there's a VR mode for Ace Combat 7 that I've been meaning to try out. It only just sort of dawned on me yesterday that I should be doing that. But the game itself, I am playing it on novice mode. There is no such thing as novice mode, by the way. It's called normal. Grow up. And basically playing it like an arcadey flight game and having much more fun with that than playing it on like super hard balls expert mode.
Okay.
Super hard balls?
Yeah, super
hard
balls.
You don't want to let them in VR. Yeah, that's a terrifying experience. It's like,
We'll give a quick mention to Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, which was a game I wasn't excited for, then got excited for, then picked up, and then got really, really annoyed with and bored by it. Because it was so repetitive and boring. And then, like, my love for this series has gone because of that. Oh. But then they went, here's a third game in the series. Went, all right, yeah, okay, I'll play that now.
Well, anything else? Like, set up for you, like, quality-wise? Or
I think the sleeper hit has been Apex Legends, of course, of this first half of the year.
Still haven't tried it.
Okay. Yeah, I occasionally jump into it and then realise how terrible I am at first person shooting and how it just triggers. I just get triggered within about 5 minutes.
And that's why you've dedicated so much time to Destiny.
Well, no, at least that there's PvE rather than PvP, which again in Destiny that triggers me as well. within 5 minutes, I will be casting aspersions upon the quality of other people's internet connections.
Okay,
just get, you laggy piece of. Do you want to actually take any damage from the shotgun to the face?
They're hacking. They're definitely hacking.
They are. No, mate. The number of people who do. Everybody who ends up match made with me, hackers.
Hackers. Aimbots, a lot of them.
Hackers.
Everyone.
Hackers.
They hacked the game by being younger than you, Dan.
Screw those people and their reflexes.
The only problem with Apex Legends, isn't it sort of choking a bit at the moment? I hear it's losing a lot of its audience, no?
Well, I think it's because they let the thing trundle on free for a bit, and they're introducing the good stuff behind a paywall, essentially. So,
yeah.
And that's always the problem when you release something as completely free without any whiff of microtransactions, and then you go, actually, here's this thing.
How do you explain Fortnite? It's like the biggest game in the world at the moment.
That game is cancer. I really don't like it.
Oh, wow. But... you're a medical professional.
Yeah. Yep. I would rather have a screaming colonoscopy than play Fortnite.
I have no problems with Fortnite. I just have no desire to play it myself. And only a few days ago, I learned that DJ Marshmallow is an actual person and not just a character they made for Fortnite. So there you go.
I think it's probably one of the things Fortnite really does is really make me feel
old.
Feel very old.
Does that?
I don't even know what games are anymore.
In discussion with some people the other day, it came up in discussion that it's basically the you know, third person shooter for the Minecraft generation. Like, they grew up doing the whole building thing and then grew up from Minecraft into shooting things, basically.
Bloody whippersnappers.
Don't know if that's necessarily the case, but, you know, it was an interesting point anyway. But, I don't think any of us have played Fortnite for a significant amount of time, though, no?
I've played it for about 4 hours, and then again, start getting triggered by it.
It just looks like too much, like, work.
The fact that you actually need reactions is an issue for me. It's always the problem.
Yeah.
Always the problem.
I've got to the title screen many times, but I just can't be bothered. I can't be bothered with this game. I can't be bothered to learn this game. There's other games that I'd much rather play. I've seen this game. It's not for me.
But there's a couple of other big games from this year that we didn't play so much that we would have done possibly another year. I don't know. None of us played Sekiro, did we? I don't think.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
you did. Did.
Yeah, we had a show where I reviewed it and everything.
Do talk about it on the show. That is a case.
Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the main lines for Game of the Year so far for me,
yeah.
I think.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not even a game I've beaten. It's not a game I've played to completion. I don't even think I'm halfway through that game. It's a game that I've pumped like a good 60, 70 hours into. It's the From Software formula of this game is ridiculously hard, and then once you found a groove, it becomes the greatest game of all time, you know? and then you start having... I got to admit, it's not like Bloodborne. Bloodborne gave me the Bloodborne dreams. I haven't had the Sekiro dreams. That's not caught a hold of me that way yet. But I've got a feeling when I go back to that later on in the year that... What?
Let's rewind this sentence.
Okay.
The Bloodborne dreams. Discuss.
From Software games, Souls-likes in particular, they tend to be a very addictive nature game, especially as the whole... You're honing your craft in playing this game. You are... basically becoming a master at your own playstyle for this game. And when you do, and it gets that hook in you, that's the time where, and not just Souls-likes, but I think it's more common with Souls-like, you know, you find yourself playing this game, just one more game, and then it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and you don't know how you pass so much time so quickly. In the same vein, what I had when I was playing Bloodborne was I would be up till 4 o'clock in the morning playing the game, and then I would go to sleep, and I would start thinking I'm playing the game in my sleep, and then waking up and going, I've got to play me some Bloodborne. I just figured something out. I've got to try this thing in Bloodborne. Sekiro's not dug its hooks in me that way that Bloodborne did, but it's definitely got that formula there that I reckon if I could have quite easily carried on and not played anything else this year other than Sekiro. Like, that's how good I find that game.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
And still no love for Little Friends, Dogs and Cats.
I mean, I'm still playing it. That's my tube game. I play with my dog. It's great.
Well, is there any games on this list that none of us have played? I don't think any of us played Mortal Kombat 11 in the end, did we?
No, but I went back and I beat Mortal Kombat 10 finally. Yes. So now I'm ready. I was thinking of picking it up because they put it in the Days of Play sale. Ooh. But when you look at it, it's only like a £5 reduction, which is £55.
Yeah.
Which does not seem like a special to me.
No. That's a shame. That would have been good for tomorrow night. Anyway, but yeah, like, I don't know. There's not that many other major games on the list that we haven't played, you know, of like the major releases of this year generally. Like, but some of them have, Anthem wasn't like, was the biggest letdown, but there's been other things that have snuck out. I'm thinking Crackdown 3 in particular. I think Dan, you didn't.
I enjoyed Crackdown 3 for what it was. The multiplayer wasn't anything special. Crackdown 3 felt like Crackdown HD, and I was okay with that. But I think if you were in the same mindset I was when they initially announced Crackdown 3 before the launch of the Xbox One, because this was going to be a flipping launch title, it's a game that would have been an amazing launch title, not so great in the current climate that it came out in, but part of Xbox Game Pass, so wasn't really let down so much.
Yeah.
If you put a lot of stock in that game, you'd be very let down.
Yeah.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was expecting some shouting from Old Spice guy. I've forgotten his name all of a sudden.
Old Spice, you mean Jerry Halliwell.
Jerry Halliwell, yes. Jerry Halliwell was in that game. I've forgotten the name. How have I forgotten the name? Terry Crews.
There we go.
Yeah, I was expecting shouting from Terry Crews and Crackdown, and that's pretty much what I got,
right.
So I was happy with that. But that said, there is a reason why that game comes in two parts, two separate installs, one for single player and one for multiplayer, because that multiplayer is shocking. That is a that is a tech demo.
Is it that bad?
It's all these things... Oh man, I'm going to put a video in the show notes. I've forgotten the name of it, but it's basically showing the examples of the power of the cloud that we were promised and the destructible environments and what we actually got. Like in this game, you're meant to be able to, seamlessly shoot part of a wall and the part of the wall will disappear and then attack. You can knock down a skyscraper, which you can sort of do, but it's not that in depth. You're not shooting away the parts you want to remove. You're shooting a certain part until a massive chunk of the wall just knocks out in one hexagonal block, you know. It's not as in-depth as it looks. It does look like a weird tech demo. Like there's not even half the detail they show in any of those initial presses, but yeah, the single player, fine, nice little way to it's kind of like Wargroove in that you can, you say it's like your comfort food of gaming, Tim. That's kind of what Crackdown is for me. I'm chasing the orbs, I'm shooting the dudes, I'm fine. But that multiplayer was just bad. I'm very broken as well.
A bag of arse is how I've heard it described.
Long, Mr. Coleman, to get round to mentioning one of your current favourites or recent current favourites.
Tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. Days Gone. Again, another comfort food gaming. It's the game where it's got a particular hook, and that hook is you ride around on a motorcycle through an open world and you kill zombos.
They're not zombies.
Don't say the Z word, even if it's
it's the F word, remember.
Why can't we call them zombies?
Because they're freakers.
Did not refer to them as zombies and were very deliberate about not mentioning the Z word in any interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Set you up for a Shaun of the Dead line? Didn't go with it.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah, anyway.
Not all of us have committed every theatrical release in the past 20 years to memory, Goldman.
Fine. You kill hordes, you ride around on a motorcycle through an open world. If that's fun, that's fun. It's not as in-depth as a lot of the big open worldy, explorey, RPG type games at the moment, but I didn't care because the hook it gave me was enough to keep me entertained for a long time. And I'm taking a little break from it now because I want to savor this to the end of the year. And that's what I'm going to do. And I had to stop and play other games because I'm literally playing Days Gone every day. and I can't keep doing the show and going, by the way, I'm playing Days Gone still because it's going
it's
to get very boring.
I've done it with Destiny for four
and
a half
years.
It's
fine. Exactly.
You'll style it out. It's fine.
It's going to be like the year Destiny launched with Dan.
Days Gone is your Destiny.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I am playing Destiny 2 at the moment, by the way.
Good man.
Got back into that. But yeah.
I'm going to, when the cross-save thing happens, I'm so tempting you over to PC.
I think you got more luck with the... I mean, you'll have to wait till I built a PC, but you got more luck with the...
Sorry, I have a cunning plan to help you with that.
You've got more luck with the Google Stadia. I think, maybe.
Yeah.
But then the cross saves still aren't confirmed for PlayStation, are they?
No, they are.
No, they did.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yep, all confirmed. Oh,
I'm actually more excited for that now.
Yay!
Hooray!
Hooray! Yeah.
Days Gone, good game. I think it was worth every penny. A lot of people would think that this is like a £25, £30, £15 maybe even game. So if you didn't pick it up on launch, then wait for a sale and go get that.
That's still 10 quid more than Anthem's worth, so that's all good.
Well, I kind of wanted to throw one more in there because I've got three. My current three front runners are probably Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Days Gone, and the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people did like that, no?
Yeah, because whereas Travis Strikes Again No More Heroes takes a series that I really like and turns it into something boring and stilted, Resident Evil 2 remake takes a game that I absolutely loved, especially when it first came out, and makes enough changes while keeping it still familiar to me for me to be completely just captured by this game that I want to keep running through it. And still, like, things are familiar, but they're new at the same time. Like, I recognize the characters, I recognize the levels, but the levels aren't quite right. There is something off about them, and it's because they've changed things around to make the game more challenging for newcomers and more challenging for veteran players and, up to modern day for newcomers to the game. And, yeah, Resident Evil 2 is just an absolute cracking game, the remake that came out this year. So if you've not picked that up, I would definitely recommend doing that.
Okay.
And it's gross as well. So gory.
Splendid. Where do I sign up?
Yeah. Like, if you watch Brightburn in the cinema and you go, that's some gore I quite like, then go play some Resident Evil 2.
Wow, that's a lot of homework we just got there, Coleman.
Also, go buy a little friend's dogs and cats.
No, never.
Everyone buy a copy of that game.
Can you set your pets on each other? Is it like kind of a blood sports version of Pokemon?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
And you have to wait till you've leveled up before you can play with cats.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dogs come a standard. Cats are unlockables.
Bloody typical cats.
Yeah.
Classic. That's what Hobnob did. Be like, no, I'm sorry, you're not good
enough
for me yet.
You earn my respect.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what cats are like.
There's a couple that came out today that we can't talk about yet because we haven't got them. But Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night, I played in preview and didn't particularly like. But everyone else who seems to be playing that loves that.
Yeah.
My friend Pedro just came out today, so I'll be talking about that next week.
So you'll be loving that next week, basically.
Ah, I also played that a preview of that. That's a really good game. And then Crash Team Racing Nitro Fuel comes out next week. I've got no idea if any of us are excited for that.
I could not give a rat's ass.
I think that's out tomorrow, isn't it? And yeah, I saw people saying that. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But yeah, I feel like I possibly should be more excited for it because I do like kart racing games, but I've not got no real love for the Crash series. So this doesn't... I've never played the previous racing one. So people talk about it as a good kart racer, though. So
yeah, general kind of consensus seems to be that if you like Mario Kart, and have tried many clones and don't like closest to Mario Kart, but has enough changes for it to be an original type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe I'll give that one a go too. We'll see. Depends on the price.
Yeah, other than that, we've got a few things that we're looking forward to for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Do you
want to just run through
do.
The list, Dan?
Yeah, go through the list.
Okie dokie. Well, do you want to do all of them or just want to highlight?
Yeah, just run through and we'll chime in if we want them.
Okay, so 2019, games to come. Judgment!
Interested in that. Judgment's the one by the guys that made Yakuza series, but it's, Yakuza meets Ace Attorney, basically, by the looks of things.
There's a mashup.
I'm interested. I'll see how it comes out, but I'm keeping an eye on it, basically.
I object with fists.
Sinking City.
Eh.
Don't remember enough about that one.
That's a Lovecraftian type game, I think.
Yes.
Maybe.
And next up is F1 2019. I'm actually quite looking forward to this.
Yeah, that's for you, Dan.
I've got Forza. I'm good now.
Yeah, I'm quite a big Formula 1 fan. It sounds like they're actually adding quite a lot of cool new stuff to this. And finally, rather than have to sign up to an existing team, you can now create your own team with your own paint on the car, your own liveries and all of that.
Oh, that's why you're excited. Big red barrel team for Formula One.
Yeah.
Piston Racing is what I'm going to go for. That's on.
Oh, on. I genuinely racing. Thought you were making a Cars reference.
Oh. I'm talking about a wee gag. On.
Oh.
On.
Right.
As in piston, but.
Oh, Dan.
On.
Great. Now I've got to spend the next 10 minutes working out if I'm bleeping that or not.
On. Or what you could do, confuse people. You could, when I say piston, don't bleep it, but when I say on.
Got it.
You need to bleep it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Next up is one we're definitely all excited for, and that is Super Mario Maker 2.
No.
What? Why do you hate
turn-based platformers?
Did you not get loved enough as a child, or did you get loved too much as a child?
I do not have an affinity for old Mario games. The only one I'm interested in, and I've been playing lately actually, has been Odyssey, but no.
Really?
I've got enough making things in Dreams that's okay with me, which we didn't mention before, but that's only out in weird form at the moment. Anyway.
I'm looking forward to Super Mario Maker 2 on the Switch. Yes, please. That's going to be my new tube game, building levels.
Me also, and then torturing me with them when you get back home, going...
I think Miyamoto hit Tim as a child, and that's why he doesn't like platformers.
Oh, no, I think that's it. That's
like probably... Miyamoto. He's lovely.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy, but he beat the crap out of you when you were a kid.
Did you have any unfortunate encounters with a pair of Italian plumbers when you were younger?
Yeah, that's what it is, definitely.
Get out of there. The next one's staying on the Mario thing. We're gonna interrupt it with some Stranger Things 3, first of all. Stranger Things 3, the game.
I'm interested in that. I don't know if it's just because I'm very excited for Stranger Things 3, but yeah, maybe, yeah, I'll keep an eye on it again.
All I'm gonna say, historically speaking, tying games... generally not the best.
That's why I'm a bit more interested, because it's not like a full AAA game coming out in time for the release. They're making a game that they can make in reasonably well in the time period before release. Anyway.
Well, we'll see if that is correct. Next up is Dr. Mario World. This is the iOS and Android version of Dr. Mario, isn't it?
Yes. Comes out next month, actually.
I'm quite looking forward to it in some ways, I think.
I heard on the Giant Bombcast that the viruses talk.
Yeah, I heard that too. Seems weird, just because I'm not used to that. It's a Nintendo mobile game, so you know there's going to be a bunch of microtransactions and stuff involved.
Yeah.
To what event, I don't know. But at the same time, it's Dr. Mario. If there's anything you were going to turn into a mobile game, a mobile puzzle game, that seems like a pretty safe bet. The Switch Online, the main thing I use that for is playing Dr. Mario. So stick that on a phone. Seems like it makes sense.
Did you just say stick that up your phone?
Stick that on a phone.
Seems to make sense.
I didn't know that. New in Dr. Mario World, suppositories. Stick them up your phone. Oh, yes, that would be an amazing game. Let's make that. Dr. Damn World. You know what to do, denizens of the internet. Make that happen.
It would be nice if this was just a release at a certain price and make a good game and not completely ruined by microtransactions, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it is going to be the latter, Tim. I think because I got a notification about it on the iOS App Store. And it said get rather than a pre-order for
right.
a price. So I think it's going to be the wonderful world of microtransactions and microorganisms. So, you know, at least there's a bit of a through line there.
Next one.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order.
Yes,
I think we all want this. All right, good. Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Still haven't finished the other two.
Yeah.
Excellent. Maybe.
Probably
That's
not.
Marketing. Madden Nuffle 20.
I would be.
No idea what it is.
No, it's too complicated these days. I don't know.
Rad!
Yeah, as much as I love those guys, I'm not sure I want Rad.
I wasn't until I played a bit of it at EGX, and then I'm like, oh, actually, this is quite cool. I might play this.
That's fair. Microsoft owned studio now.
It's actually quicker to do the list of studios that aren't owned by Microsoft. These days, I find. It's Control.
After Quantum Break, I wasn't so excited to see a new game from the studio until people played this game and went, this is a really good game and nothing like Quantum Break. So
Yeah,
because that was my initial concern when I saw this. I was like, it's Quantum Break again, isn't it?
Don't get me wrong, I liked Quantum Break, but it's had some horrible tie-in stuff that I wasn't on board with. And they went, hey, you play a part of the game, you watch an episode. If you don't watch the episode, it doesn't matter. But me being a kind of weird completionist person, I went, I want to play the game and watch all the stuff. But I don't want to dedicate half an hour after I've just played a couple of hours of a video game. And then they went, okay, well, you can download them and watch them at a later time. if you download them all at once. No, I didn't have 85 gigs spare on my hard drive. Control looks a lot better, and it has a morphing gun, and that sounds cool.
Yes.
Next up is Gears 5.
Maybe. I still haven't finished Gears 4.
Gears 4's all right. I don't know. I just can't really see what new things are being brought. I know there's things like, you know, kind of a map builder for the escape mode and stuff like that, but it kind of looks yet more of the same as far as I can tell. I mean, I may be glossing over the details, fine.
That new escape mode thing is not testing very well.
It's one of the only games that I played online for a significant amount of time as the original Gears, I think, basically. And maybe
were you one of those assholes running around with a shotgun?
No, I didn't do the shotgun rolly thing so much. Well, I tried to cope with that game when everyone was doing that, and that what finished me off not playing it. But I like played it at first when it first came out, and before everyone learned that was the case, which was not long enough, possibly. But
Gears 2 Horde mode was the best.
Oh, I loved Horde mode.
Yeah, I really like those games. But I'm not as in contact with the people that I used to play those games with, so I don't enjoy them as much, I guess.
That's fair. Me and Tim tried doing the co-op for Gears 4, and I can't remember if we quit out because it was boring or we just didn't have the time, but it just wasn't capturing me like previous Gears games
did.
Yeah,
likewise, yeah.
Like, I think 3 was a satisfactory ending for me.
But I also think it, you know, to me, the best Gears game is still Gears 1.
I think 1, 2, and 3 had their merits, but like you say, it felt like that wrapped up things nicely, and it feels like it's slightly treading water at the moment with the no disrespect to the Coalition, because I know they put quite a lot into the game and everything, and they're nice people, but yeah, it hasn't established its own identity, but it has seemed to have got further away from the identity of the previous series. You know what I mean? Like, Marcus Fenix is still involved, but he doesn't feel like the central character or plot to it anymore, and I don't really care or know where it's going other than that, basically.
Well, that's the thing. I like the idea of getting rid of the original cast and bringing in new players, and it makes it fresh and exciting, but the problem was the people that the new characters just seemed dull as dishwater, and then they kept the characters they did keep in, like Bard
He's like sound herpes is his voice.
Yeah, and Marcus, like, it was them. It, you know, it's John DiMaggio playing his character, but it just didn't seem like that character. So therefore, why even go back to revisit? Why not just come up with a brand new, just the new people? You didn't need to tie it in. It's in the universe. It's tied in. It's fine.
I mean, presumably Marcus Fenix is now old enough that he just spends the entire game telling people to get off his lawn, right?
Well,
just
that's pretty much what he does.
Off my lawn.
No, he's in a little shack and he's growing tomatoes. He says tomatoes. And then all the bad guys come in. He's like, tomato.
So he's full on Thanos, basically, is what you're saying at the beginning of Gears 5.
Yeah, but Gears 5. I don't know. I might Gears 4's on Game Pass, so I might just try and run through it over a couple of days and see if I can do that. And if I'm happy, Gears 5 will be on Game Pass. So hey.
Well, if you are going to go back into Gears 4 on Game Pass, let me know, because I can always download it as well and play it on PC.
Well, if you guys are playing, I might actually turn my Xbox on for a reason to actually play an Xbox game.
Your Xbox?
Xbox.
Your Xbox.
Xbox.
Lovely. Next up, Borderlands 3.
Still not sure.
Yeah, I think I probably will, although I dipped my toe back into the water of Borderlands 2, because there was that kind of prequel DLC for Borderlands 3, some of which I've just gone the critical path on that. I hear there's some shenanigans with a claptrap questline, which I shall investigate and get back to you.
Yeah.
But the kind of one of the central new characters, Borderlands 3, who they've introduced, does seem like he might annoy me quite a bit. I don't know. My one concern with Borderlands is that it's going to try a bit too hard.
Well, there's always that concern. I'm generally keen on the game, but I think my interest in the game is directly proportional to the amount that Randy Pitchford opens his mouth between now and release. And I'm pretty sure...
You're not going to like it very much then, mate.
And I'm pretty sure there's a few people in their PR department that are telling him exactly that.
I mean, when Borderlands is great, it's great. I mean, I just think playing Borderlands 2 and going through that bloody Liarsburg set of missions again just makes you want to punch myself in the face.
But Dan, don't you like chasing after that thing that took Claptrap's eye? Go retrieve Claptrap's eye, Dan. do that for the thousandth time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I think the only thing that still gives me a titter is battling Midgemong. Bullymong being ridden by a midget. Midgemong.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to say that anymore.
What, really?
Yeah. I think it's dwarf now. Vertically challenged. Good. The more I see Borderlands 3, I get excited because it's a nice looking game. But at the same time, I fell off Borderlands 1 and Borderlands 2 so quick. Handsome Jack Collection is now on Game Pass, and it was the PS Plus giveaway. So I don't know. Maybe I'll just jump in and see if I can get
into it. I've been tempted to pick up the VR game a couple of times as well, but I just don't
want
to start that game again. If I could skip the beginning of that game, I'd buy the VR game tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the one good thing about with this new free DLC for Borderlands 2 is that I think you can now go in and create a level 30 character with all the main story missions completed.
Oh, okay.
But I want to play the main story missions, just not the start bit. I don't want to go chase after Claptrap's Eye again.
No, but you can go True Vault Hunter mode, which is New Game Plus, but then you do have to do those goddamn missions again. But you got big, powerful guns this time, so it's a bit less trying.
Okay.
We're not very far through this list. No, we've got quite a lot left to go. Daemon X Machina.
Yes. Now, I was actually really interested in this when they announced it, but I played the beta, and I'm not sure I really talked about it on the show, but just to cover it, like...
You did.
I am less... Oh, yeah, I did at one point, but I am less interested having played it than I was before I played it.
Well, let me tell you, Tim, I was really excited about this game when they first showed it off, like when we both spoke about this from the Nintendo Direct that they showed it off on. But when the beta came out, I am less enthusiastic about this game than I was.
Grid! There we go. Is this anything to do with the racing game of the same name?
Yes, it's a reboot.
Which I'm quite looking forward to. Yeah, that should be good.
Yeah, I think Grid needs more love, so...
Arcade racer with serious cars.
Yeah, that's good fun. Yeah. So have some of that. Next one is the thing I'm looking forward to mostest of all, and that is Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. This looks amazing.
I'm not saying that I'm looking forward to it, but I'm definitely buying it because I used to play the heck out of this on the Game Boy, so it makes sense.
I'm tempted to purchase this even though, yeah... No particular love for Zelda. But.
So good. It's so good. I just hope there's a secret link to the past in there as well. That'd be amazing. That would make me so happy if that was there secretly.
It won't
be. Best game ever.
It won't be.
It won't be.
And you did get a Link to the Past sequel on the 3DS, so.
I know, but.
You've turned to a painting.
Everything to be about what I want. Sorry, I came over all millennial there. Code Vein.
Yes, please. Sold. Buying that. Having that. Like
that's
it.
For Colin.
Good. FIFA 20.
Don't know if I'm buying it this year. Haven't bought the last couple of years. Maybe.
Tim will buy it and I'll go around and see if I can try out FIFA Street.
Okay.
Excellent. Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Not going to lie. Kind of tempted.
Yeah, I know. Modern Warfare.
No, just modern. It's modern again.
Medieval.
No.
I was, and then they did the second trailer and now I'm not so sold on it.
Fair enough. No, Sir Daniel for you. The Outer Worlds I'm quite interested in.
Yes, I am
looks
interested in that.
Really, really good. Looks almost kind of like a Bioshock Fallout mashup is.
A not broken Fallout.
Yeah, it looks really interesting, this game. It's got a great art style. Really excited by this.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to be on Game Pass as well.
It looks like Fallout New Vegas in space. Wonder why.
Excited about that. Happy, happy, happy. Planet Zoo.
Nah.
Not my kind of thing, sadly, but I'm hearing a lot of buzz about it.
Preferred my Jurassic Parks to my zoos, I think.
Death Stranding, which I still got no idea exactly what this game's going to be. I think it's going to be a wonderful car crash, I think is all we can really say. Not that I think car crashes are good, just get that out there, but I just think that it's going to be... I don't
we
think
all have
it's going
to witness
be a great
how
game.
Crazy it is, almost kind of thing.
I'm not sure it's going to be a great game.
But I think we're all going to buy it, no? Like, am I wrong?
We are all going to buy it. I think it's going to be a commercial success, but I'm just concerned that it's going to disappear so far up its own arse that you're not going to be able to coax it back down again and find a game that nestles within.
For the same reason as Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Breakpoint, I'll probably end up buying this because it's Walking Dead characters and I live with the world's greatest Walking Dead fan.
Then what else have we got? We've also got Pokemon Sword and Shield. I'm too old for this. The first time round, I don't understand what the hell's going on.
I might get this.
Really?
I keep telling myself I'm not, but I might get it.
Are you going to get both of them, though? That's
No. I've never done that.
Which one would you go for, Mr. Coleman?
Probably sword.
Why? I don't even care. Why?
Dan, right. The legendaries in this game.
Yeah.
The legendaries in these games, they're always like, you know, legendary birds, legendary like tiger kind of creatures. Like, there's always some kind of magical, mythical Pokemon. In one of them, it's God. It's a Pokemon God. I don't understand the ins and outs, but it happened. In this one, the two legendaries are basically big tiger dog things. And to represent it being Sword and Shield, one is a dog with a sword in its mouth and one is a dog with a shield for a face. I want dog with sword in his mouth.
Okie dokie. That is ridiculous. But also got me strangely interested.
Yeah, I'll send you the video once we're done. Dog with sword in his mouth.
But I'm now looking it up and it's a dog sword.
Yeah, it's dog with a sword in his mouth.
That's pretty lazy. Not gonna lie.
Yes.
I think I went through this whole thing going, yeah, I think I'm good. And then they went, dog with a sword in his mouth, went, I'm in.
Who's a good boy? Right. Next, we have Star Wars.
Yes, please.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please.
I think that a lot of people wrote this game off very early, but all the rumblings I've heard from E3 make it sound like it's going to be great stuff. I really am looking forward to this.
I'm glad it's been my screen background for a while. It is definitely my most anticipated game of this whole list, basically.
Sorry. Even more than Shenmue?
Even more than Shenmue. I know I've waited a bajillion years for that, but you know.
Yeah, I don't think I'm picking this up.
No.
I think it's one of these things I'm going to observe as an entertainment curiosity from afar.
I think I am less likely to pick up 3, having recently replayed 1 and 2.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Don't do that. They've not aged well, dude.
Really not.
Does this come out before or after your birthday, Tim?
I think after, judging by you. Well, if it's in release list order.
I guess he's getting a pre-order for his birthday.
Shenmue.
I may bring around a copy of Shenmue 3 for Tim to play and I watch.
And last but not least is Doom Eternal, which I think I'll probably pick
please.
Up. The rebooted Doom in 2016 was all of the good times, and I think Doom Eternal looks like more of the same. So yeah, I'm up for that.
I should probably finish the first one.
Yes, I was just thinking exactly that as well. Like
possibly the rubbish VR game as well.
Yeah, I should probably finish that too.
That's it. That's what's coming up. I'm sure there's some stuff we've forgotten about.
Well, we kind of glossed over Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Breakpoint, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
Depends how busy I am when it comes out, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's launching quite a busy window, isn't it, I think?
Also, Wildlands released as a broken mess, but picking that game up like a year after release, it was a really, really fun game. So, that's not an endorsement to go out picking up Breakpoint on release.
Action beards. There hasn't been. All I'm going to say is the last game that featured military beards so glorious in their sheen and luxuriousness was Medal of Honor.
I don't think Tim can play Breakpoint because that means he's got to hunt and kill the Punisher.
Yeah, no one wants to do that.
Not unless you're a Jigsaw.
Even then. He's not very good at it. That's his problem.
So next up is the weekly segment that I like to call. I'm going to move the stuff that I've played this week because I know there's going to be stuff that Tim absolutely has to talk about because reasons.
No, we're going long anyway and I'll gloss over things. But just to mention, Hard West is a kind of XCOM with cowboys, to sum it up very quickly. Turn-based strategy.
I thought it was 1960s Batman with Viagra.
No.
Okay.
I've really enjoyed it. I'm mentioning it at the
it's
moment
a hard
just
case
because
to solve, chum.
For most of the next week it is on sale and it's currently half price. And,
also, I just see what you did
and
there.
Yeah. For that price, it's definitely worth it. Really I've got quite a few hours out of it already, and yeah, enjoyable. I'll talk about it more next week, possibly, if we get a chance, but yeah. Also,
quickly, old chum.
Only just got a review code for it, but it came out this week, so you may want to have a look at a game called Mini Mech Mayhem, is PSVR. It's for board game fans, I can describe it a bit more easily, more quickly. It's a bit like the programming that you get in How to Rob a Bank, which we played more recently, or things that more gamers might know is Cult Express, but you're programming your moves ahead of time, and then you kind of resolve them all at the same time as your opponents. It's a four-player kind of sit round a table, and you've got a little mech that's your little buddy, and you can interact with him and stuff. Looks quite good fun. I'll hopefully play a bit of that and get the chance to talk about it next week, but just mentioning it now because it just came out this week, and it has been another like good week or so for PSVR releases. Vacant Cake Emulator came out this week. That looks silly fun, and I may well pick that up at some point in the future. I just have, because I got a review code for something this week. And there's been a few other good releases as well. But
Anyway, Trevor we'll Saves the Universe is still in my basket.
In your
I keep
basket.
Hovering over by it.
Yeah, that does look really funny, and I quite enjoyed the last thing they did as well. So, yeah, I'm tempted.
Good. Right, good. Tim, no more talking about games for you, young lad. That is
it. I'd like to talk about Hard West some more.
Really? All right, go for it. It's you. You're editing it, Coleman.
Slide down my bat pole. May he rest in peace. Sorry, carry on.
If you go to his grave, there's actually a mound. Never mind. He was a slightly dodgy fella, though, wasn't he?
He was my childhood hero. You shut your face.
He was your original Batman.
Kick Kevin Conroy's ass.
Wow, you get really quite vociferous with defending your childhood heroes.
Yeah. Oh, mate, you should hear me shout about Shatner sometime.
Oh, William Shatner.
Or Henry Winkler.
Oh, God. Right, onwards.
Hey.
We're done.
Remember
We're
that?
Done for the week. Yeah, I do. Very good. Coleman.
Yeah.
Shush now.
Okay.
Tim, Tuesday's Tuesday. Tell me about Tuesday.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, and we had a humdinger of a Tuesday last week. It was really good fun. Really nice, crowded, and fun atmosphere, basically. We ran out of tables, which is a good problem for us to have.
So it was just a top Tuesday,
yes.
Then.
But yeah, like over 75 people all playing board games at once, basically. So yeah, that was all
same
all
game.
Nice. No, they're a variety
all crowded
of
round
games.
One
but,
longest game of Risk ever.
Our feature
biggest
game last week
Hungry Hippos
was quite cool as well. As a game called Chronicles of Crime, and like we had the VR extension to it as well, so that went down quite well. And yeah, like it was just a quite a fun, interesting, like app-driven crime game, basically. And this week we are continuing our crime wave, but flipping back to the other side of the law, and we're back to being robbers this week with a game called.
I really thought you were going this week. I have been mostly eaten. Tara Masalata
from European locations. But yeah, no, basically it's a game called Caper, very highly rated card game, kind of set collection, but you're
it's type of fish.
No, it's the kind of thing that goes with fish. Caper's really nice
players,
with
tasked with like putting together a team of thieves to help them steal the most stuff, basically.
Yeah, really nice in a puttanesque sauce.
Would you like to be some fash?
Looks quite good fun. Anyone doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston, and if you play our feature game that week, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. So this week's game, as I mentioned, is Caper, and you can win a copy of that just by coming along, playing on the evening, and then everyone gets entered into a prize draw to possibly win a copy at the end of the night.
I'll enter you into a prize
you
draw.
You will not.
Your face is a prize
will.
Draw.
Your face is
yeah,
a prize draw.
Yeah, it is.
Draw.
Wait.
What? Hey?
Face is a jumble sale.
Your face is a carving sale.
Your mum's a prize draw. She's had that many balls in her.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
But yes, come anyone that doesn't know, you can come along to BigRedBarrel.com, and then there is more information on the top left-hand corner of Big Red Barrel, or you can come along to Meetup.com and search for Tabletop Tuesday, And then there is more details there. You can join the over 1,750 people that are members of our meetup group on there. And yeah, come along to the Loading Bar in Dalston and play some games with us.
That is Tabletop Tuesday on the 25th of June for Caper at the Loading Bar in Dalston with stuff and things.
Yeah, it's on a Tuesday.
Yes.
You certainly could. So, right, I think that is it, because whoops to the shout-outs, according to the agenda.
I will say, I forgot who told us, but the thing where iTunes is not a thing anymore, it is a thing, but only for Windows. Mac owners get three different applications to replicate the functionality of iTunes.
It's okay. The future.
It's and the future. Also, more apps.
If we're not doing shout-outs, I will sneak in the fact that we have two new writers starting this week. Sikanda, who has already put out his first article, and I don't know if it did inspire Coleman to do this week's topic, but he's basically talking about PlayStation and Xbox One being set for a great final year. Quite a good article. Go and have a look at that. And also, Michael will be joining us this week, and he will have an article out soon as well. So thank you very much for joining the site and getting some content out on our blog once again. Thank you very much, Sean.
Killmonger himself.
Hey?
That's amazing. How did we get him?
It was the free tea and biscuits.
Okay. He Michael B. Jordan writing for Big Red Barrel.
Goes mad for a custard cream.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing. Human Torch himself.
I know, right?
Creed.
He also likes marshmallows. He can kind of toast them on his own face.
Mate, you seen that body in Creed? He ain't eating no marshmallows.
Actually, I think you'll find that marshmallows are one of the lowest calorie sweetmeats.
Is that true?
But, they're relatively low in calories. I mean, they're still full of sugar, but they're relatively low because they're quite a lot of air.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I've learned something today. Thanks, Dr. Dan.
Off goes Coleman, probably gives himself diabetes by eating his own body weight.
Tons of marshmallows.
Everything in moderation, Coleman. Everything in moderation.
I like to have a little snack every now and then, just a little treat for myself.
Why do you have to do the voice? That's it. We're going now. So make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or indeed facebook.com/bigredbarrel or bit.ly/ I think it's Discord, BRB or BRB Discord, one of the two. I can't remember the link I created. But we've got a Discord. You can find it on the front page of the site as well. Come on over there. Say hello. We've got all kinds of things going on over there. Largely Destiny. That's because I've got something to do with it. And yeah.
We wouldn't have it any other way, fun. Dan. Well, we would.
Jump on if and let me know if you want to play the PS4 version of Destiny. I have no friends.
Aww.
But I'm catching up on like all of the expansions that I haven't been playing. Like, I just beat Warmind.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
It's all right, actually, Warmind. Apart from the fighting a giant earthworm thing. That's
I liked that.
We've got to get to the end of a show. I'm not going to have a dorking out about Destiny at the moment.
I'm going to leave you back to it. Just when you thought you were out.
Can I just add one thing just to sort of...
Of course.
Yeah, something that caught my interest. Surprise Stephen Fry.
Yes, surprise Stephen Fry.
Surprise Stephen Fry. Good old...
Snuck right in there.
Good old Warmind. Anyway, K6 died and that's where I am now.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Sorry. It's in the trailer.
All right, fair enough. Right, so that's your lot. We're going to go now because we have to. And we'll see you all next week with any luck. So I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been a bloody massive space worm.
You certainly have. So, until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
I like the word.
You and your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
I don't think worms make rrr noises.
Rrr, I'm a space worm.
I also don't think they're from the West Country.
Hello there.
Hello, I'm a ruddy space worm.
See, you'll be occupying some space that I wish to be worming around in. We'll be having that.
I'm gonna set up camp right in your little computerized little worm, my lover, aren't I?
Now go replay that level in Warbind. And just when he pops up, go, hello, my lover.
Hello.
Oh.
And replace the boss music with I don't know, Trapped by the Wurzels.
That is your homework, Dan.